The virus that causes COVID-19 is teeny, right? It's a virus. It's small enough to invade our cells. And if we think too hard about the fact that we can't see it, we can start to worry that it could be lurking everywhere. That line of thought can make a person anxious about going to the grocery store and bringing food home because someone else has touched that food to scan the barcode or even just to stock it on the shelves. So where's the sweet spot between too cautious and too lax? We're finding out here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we want to hear from you. Are you taking extra precautions during your trips to the grocery store or maybe when you're unpacking those purchases at home? Tell us what you're doing and why. What questions do you have about proper shopping habits so that you can help protect yourself and your family? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Donald Schaffner. He's a professor of food science at Rutgers University and the host of the podcast Food Safety Talk. Don, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Keely. It's a pleasure to be here.
There is no shortage of advice circulating right now online about the right way to shop for groceries during this pandemic. Is there a risk of catching this new coronavirus from food we buy at the grocery store?
That's an excellent question. So right now, every case of coronavirus that we know of has been linked to transmission from a person who was infected. We don't know of any cases that have been transmitted by food or by touching food packaging or for any kind of transmission like that. I do want to say, though, there is potential risk in going to the grocery store, not because there's contaminated food there, but that there might be people there who are sick with coronavirus.
Well, let's talk more about that then. If the biggest risk of going grocery shopping is being around other people, then what are the right strategies for us to take when we're navigating those aisles?
Well, there's a couple of things that I would suggest. So the first thing I would suggest starts before you even go to the store, right? So make a list. You should know what you want to get in the store so you can move through the store as quickly and efficiently as possible. Just keep moving and get out of the way. My local grocery store has hand sanitizer at the entrance. I will use that, not because that's going to protect me while I'm in the store, but on the off chance that I'm bringing coronavirus in on my hands, it's going to help to mitigate that risk. And then I'll move through the store, as I said, quickly getting all the groceries I need and then check out. On the way out of the store, I will also take a hit of hand sanitizer just on the off chance that I did pick up anything on my hands. While I'm in the store, I'm going to practice appropriate social distancing. I'm going to try to stay 6 feet away from people as best I can. And then also the other thing I'm suggesting is everybody should just maybe relax a little bit and try to be patient. I mean, try to be quick, but try to be patient. Don't yell at the people that are working in the store. They're doing the best job that they can. They're trying really hard to make sure that we have all the food we need. So just, you know, try to cut everybody a break, too.
Yeah, they're definitely on the front lines. Is it a good idea to wipe down the cart or the basket handles that you encounter in the store then?
That's an excellent question. So when I go shopping, I try to use reusable bags, so I'll bring my own bags. Now, I know that some states have banned those, and some stores are banning mm-hmm. them as well. I don't think that there's any real science behind that, and fortunately for me, my local store still lets me use my reusable bags, and that's a great risk reduction measure because then I'm not touching carts or anything else that anyone has handled. Again, another really good practice by my local grocery store is they are sanitizing all of those grocery carts in between use. And so if you pick up a grocery cart inside the store, you know that it's been sanitized. If you bring in a cart from the outside, they'll be right there at the door offering to sanitize it for you. So those are a couple of good risk mitigation measures there as well. I suppose there are some people that are bringing their, if your store doesn't sanitize the handles of the grocery carts, some people are bringing their own sanitizer. I suppose that's an option as well. But, again, it's good if the store can do it for you.
Don Schaffner is a professor of food science at Rutgers University, and we're talking about smart ways to minimize our exposure to the new coronavirus and anything else while we're shopping at the grocery store. And we're taking your questions about how to shop smart and also how to make sure that the food that you bring home is safe. Are you eating fewer fresh vegetables and fruits because you worry about what might be on it? How have you changed your shopping habits or the things that you're buying because you're concerned? Help us figure out, what the right amount of concern is and how to best handle your food by calling 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. We've seen some different advice on how to handle the food. One of the more extreme ways is that there are people who have suggested you wipe down all grocery items with disinfectant before them putting away, or even further, others have said you should leave them outside or in the garage for up to 3 days. Do you see these steps helping?
Personally, I don't see those steps helping at all. So let's talk about the leaving outside for 3 days. That's based on some research that was recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine that showed that on certain surfaces, the virus can be there for 3 days. 3 days is not exactly the right way to look at that. You really have to focus on the half-life of the virus on the surface. But more importantly than that, I don't know what the weather is like there in Wisconsin, but here in New Jersey, it's pretty cold outside. And one of the things that we know about the virus is that it survives better under cold conditions. And so if I put those groceries in my garage for 3 days at 40 or 45 degrees Fahrenheit, the virus concentration is not going to change all that much. That's not a terribly smart or effective risk mitigation measure. And as you mentioned, people are spraying down the outside of their packages with disinfectant. I'm not doing any of that. I think that that's overkill. Again, if you are worried about that there might be coronavirus on the outside of your food packaging, my suggestion is after you remove the food from the shopping bags and put it on your shelves, wash your hands or use hand sanitizer. The probability that there's coronavirus there is rather small anyway, and even if it is there, washing your hands will get rid of it. Like I said, I want to stress again, the place where you'll get coronavirus is being next to a person in the grocery store who is actively shedding the virus. That's really where the risk comes from.
Chris from Port Wing wants to join our conversation now. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, thanks for the wonderful topic and your nice guest. One of the things that I've noticed has happened at some stores, like in Ashland, our co-op will give you curbside pickup, so you can call in and order and then drive up to the co-op. They'll come out and put the food in your trunk. You won't even have to get out of your car, and you can pay for it and not have to go into the store. And then, of course, many stores are offering senior hours so people at risk who are older can go in and shop at a less crowded time, and definitely ways that we could control the personnel flow through would be helpful for sure.
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much for the perspective from your part of Wisconsin. And Don, certainly the senior hours and the curbside pickup, what you're talking about with not minimizing necessarily your exposure to food, but to, having to accidentally like touch someone else's hand when they hand you a grocery bag or be within the vicinity of someone who happens to cough or sneeze.
Yeah, those are both excellent risk mitigation measures. So if they're available where you are, I certainly encourage you to take advantage of it. And then while we're talking about elderly people shopping, my parents are both in their 80s, and my recommendation to them is, hey, you guys really just shouldn't even be going to the grocery store. So I don't live near them, but other family members do, and so they're doing the shopping for them. And then, of course, even though they would love to give their granddaughter a hug, they practice appropriate social distancing because she may be carrying the virus. And so when she delivers the groceries, they just wave to each other from 6 feet away, and she sets the groceries down. So
delivery among families or even with those services, another opportunity. Food safety scientist Don Schaffner stays with us as we figure out which precautions make sense to keep our food safe during this COVID-19 pandemic. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234 to join in. We continue this conversation here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Getting groceries for our families is necessary for staying healthy, and handling those goods properly is always important. But sometimes we forget and get too comfortable with a relatively safe and robust food supply. Now that COVID-19 spreads so easily, we're looking at the food that we eat and how we handle it to try to figure out the safest way to get the nutrition we need. Rutgers University food science professor Don Schaffner is answering our questions about shopping for those meals and making sure our food is safe. And James from Kimberly wants to share his experience. Hi, James.
Hello. Thanks for getting me on. And I definitely like the program. I was just calling to say that as far as shopping, we first got when the initial thing came out with the COVID-19, we got caught up in it and kind of stocked up on stuff. But ever since then, we've definitely scaled back on that. But as far as the food we were eating or buying, we haven't changed any of that around here. Well, my family. And when we go to clean, we're not afraid of anything being on the produce or the fruit, because we always, just like everybody should do anyhow, just clean the fruit off and the produce when you get it, because of pesticides that might be on it, or anything like that. So I was just calling to say that, nothing's business as usual for us. And just, everybody, I just want to tell everybody to stay safe and flatten the curve. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, James, thanks for bringing that up. And Don, James mentions, well, but we always wash our produce because this is just a good practice. That is something that we should continue doing.
Absolutely. You were washing your produce before, you'll be washing it now, and you'll wash it after the pandemic is over. My only recommendation there is some advice saying to use circulating, say use soap. Absolutely do not use soap to wash your produce. Soap is designed for hands and for dishes. If you ingest soap accidentally, it can cause nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, and you certainly don't want any of those things. The other comment that James made was about stockpiling or buying a lot of food. Everybody should realize that there's plenty of food in the food supply chain, and so it's important that you buy what you need. Don't maybe buy a little bit more than you would normally, but don't excessively stockpile, because that's just going to waste food, and that food could go to people that maybe really do need it. So get what you need, but don't stockpile.
Okay, and we have another question here from Linda in Madison. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm calling about bringing food or milk and dairy products and all the things you take out of coolers. Is it all right to just bring them home and put them into your refrigerator, or do they have to spend time in a cooler out in your garage and wait 24 hours and then bring them in? And should you be rinsing them off before you put them in the refrigerator? I just don't. And I wanted to also comment that we're the same age as your guest's parents, and we have a daughter and son-in-law who are shopping for us the same way.
Oh, so, excellent. Good, Linda. I'm glad you're saying safe. And what about those cold products, Don? Should we wipe them down? And I guess the flip side is there any harm to wiping them down?
Well, so here's the thing. There's no harm to wiping them down. I did post a tweet thread that kind of went viral around this issue, and I got feedback from so many people saying, thank you for telling me I didn't have to wipe everything down, because it was taking 2 hours every time I went shopping, and it was causing me stress and anxiety. And so I guess my advice to people is you don't have to wipe stuff down, but if it makes you feel better to do it, then hey, and you've got the time, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. Just, don't use harmful chemicals that you might breathe in while you're doing that. Certainly the whole idea of storing your milk in the fridge for 24 hours, again, if the virus is there, which it probably is not, storing it in the refrigerator for 24 hours is not going to cause it to inactivate. And so my advice is just take it and put it right into your home fridge. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm advising that my 80-plus-year-old parents do as well.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, what's the takeaway for people? Because it is scary to think that I might be bringing something into my home that could hurt my family. It just is.
Oh, absolutely, and I understand why people are concerned. And I guess my main point is the most likely way a virus is going to come into your home is if someone who's an infected person comes into your home, right? So again, this is why we're all practicing social distancing right now, and why we're all staying in our homes as much as possible. The second most likely way I think the virus is going to come in would be on fingers or hands. And so that's, again, why I'm going to repeat the message. It's a really good idea to practice good hand washing. If you've got hand sanitizer, you can use that as well. And then the third tip related to those two things is if you if you find yourself washing your hands more than usual and your hands are feeling dried out, get a good brand of moisturizer that you like and then use that. And then also realize if your hands are clean, if they're not visibly soiled with dirt, you can alternate hand washing with using hand sanitizer. Many of these hand sanitizers have formulations that actually help to moisturize your skin. So do take care of your hands, because if they get dry and chapped, they're harder to clean, and they're harder to wash. So keep your hands healthy.
Healthy and very clean.
Yes.
That sounds great. Don, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Keeley.
Donald Schaffner is a professor of food science at Rutgers University. He also hosts the podcast Food Safety Talk, and his research includes predictive food microbiology, hand washing, and cross-contamination. It's time for Wisconsin Life Now. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about an historic Wisconsin dish.
Is there really anything better than a buttery, flaky pastry filled with meat and vegetables, or perhaps just vegetables for our vegetarian friends? The pasty has long been a staple in certain Wisconsin communities and has a rich history with a particular group of workers. Jane Jensky went to learn more about the role of pasties in Wisconsin history.
Imagine this. It's early morning in a small Wisconsin town about a century ago. The sun hasn't risen, but parents bustle around the kitchen. They're making pasties. One's for Dad, who's preparing for a day in the mines. Some are for the children, who are about to head to their one-room schoolhouse. The extras are for Mom to warm up for dinner tonight. The pasty is convenient, handheld, and delicious. It's a flaky, buttery pastry, folded over, pinched at the crust, bursting with meat and vegetables. The more traditional fillings might include beef, rutabagas, onions, and potatoes.
Okay, we do two of the Greek.
Joe's Pasty Shop has been making these savory pies for decades. Jessica Lapachin opened a location in Rhinelander 15 years ago. She talks about the business's history while her husband Larry chops onions.
So Joe's Pasty Shop is a third generation pasty business. My family opened up Joe's Pasty Shop in Ironwood, Michigan in 1946.
Miners from Cornwall, England flocked to Wisconsin in the 1800s. They settled in places like Mineral Point and Miner's Grove, as more lead was needed for things like paint, pipes, and lead shot. Cornish miners brought their mining expertise for extracting galena, which is a mineral used to make lead. They also brought a piece of their European culture, the pasty.
It's a portable meal that the Cornish miners would have taken down into the mine, a handheld meal that they could hold with dirty hands, and they would hang on to the crimp of the crust, eat the center, and throw the crimp away.
While the pasties kept the miners nourished, they also thought the scraps could bring them good luck.
So there's a superstition in mining culture of these spirits that live in the mine. They're called Tommyknockers. And so they would do things like move tools around or hide things from the miners. And so, the miners started to think, well, we have to appease them. Let's give them the crust of our pasties. So they would toss that into the corners of the mine. So,
when the demand for lead decreased in southwestern Wisconsin, many Cornish miners moved to the Upper Peninsula to work in copper and iron mines. Pasties became a family tradition, passed on from generation to generation. Lapachin says hers isn't the only family with a pasty story.
And it's a very familiar, memorable food for people. People are really passionate about their favorite pasty and their pasty stories and the way their grandmother made them.
Inside Joe's is regular customer LJ Summers. He didn't grow up with pasties and had his first one when he moved to Rhinelander.
In the past year since I've lived in the neighborhood, and everybody was like, you need to go get a pasty. And so I did, and I've been hooked ever since.
Summers is now a pasty fanatic. He can't stay away from the shop for more than a week.
I like the Greek pasty a lot. That's definitely my favorite. And then my new favorite recently is the Cornish one, because that one goes unannounced. Like, I feel like nobody pays attention to it because of the rutabagas. People are scared of rutabagas.
Even after the fall of the mining era in Wisconsin, people's love of pasties lives on.
Oh, there's something about your pasty. There's something about your pasty. There's something about your pasty that is fine, fine, fine.
That story about pasties in Wisconsin came from Jane Jensky. She's a UW-Madison student working on an internship for Wisconsin Life and Wisconsin 101, which tells the history of the state through objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And the morning show continues here on this Wednesday. Up next, we have U.S. Representative Gwen Moore joining the program, and we're taking your questions for her, including those on COVID-19. Email ideas at WPR.org now. And as the impact of COVID-19 grows in Wisconsin, WPR is bringing you coverage of the latest developments from our reporters around the state. We've also added additional state news updates throughout the day each weekday. You can hear them right after NPR News at the top of each hour. Also, find the latest at WPR.org/COVID. Up next is news.